unseen battle. Things that happen around us that seem to make this world in which we live around strange. And we're all good with apparitions, and because you see it on TV, and you know every third movie that comes out today is about ghosts and about evil demons and stuff like that. So we have no problem with it in the world that we see, in the movies we watch. And so when you come to talk about it, though, that there's those kinds of things that are out to get you, it becomes a little bit less, nah, that doesn't happen. Really, no. And yet you all know, you know that you know that you know down deep that a lot of us on a daily basis get our tail ends beat. We get beat up, and we're wondering why. And so a lot of what we're going to talk about today, I think, are some things that I want to help all of us, me included, get in through our heads and our minds and our spirit, something that we've learned. If you went to church when you were little, you heard about this stuff. You've seen it. You've heard about it at least once, most of you, about the armor of God, about putting on the armor of God. And I believe it. It's an act of failure on the church. I believe it's an act of failure for many Christians today, that they do not wear the armor. I believe you are fighting naked. I believe you're fighting naked. If I had to title my lesson today, I would title it, Don't Fight Naked. But I didn't want to put that on paper. But it's out in the universe, so here it is. Don't fight naked. Don't fight naked. Let's talk about that. What I want to do is create a very quick and a very spiritual framework, not my spiritual framework, the word spiritual framework, for how we don't fight naked. And so, then I want to ask two questions and then we'll be done. I have to review last week's for some of you that weren't here. There was five things I basically touched on and I want to touch on them again today. I don't remember I think I put them on our thing. If we can do that, yeah, go right ahead. Five reminders as you dress, okay? And I want to get in your mind that this is five things that God wants you to put on at least every day. There's probably these five reminders are things that are going to help you want to do the next thing that I'm going to ask you to do, is that's put on the armor. So here's the first one. The first one is very simple. There is an invisible world that is real as the visible world. All of us are involved in spiritual warfare against good and evil. Our foe is formidable, powerful, and his goal is to destroy us, to deceive us, to ruin the cause of Christ. We must respect our foe, but not fear him. Be acutely aware of his schemes and his tactics and his activity. And as believers, we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. We are not victims. We are victors. You are not a loser. You are a winner. When God created you, he made you to be a winner. He made you to go out and in a spiritual sense to kick booty, to kick a lot of booty, a lot of bad spiritual booty out there. And so it's important today that as we look at this from this state framework, that we really take this seriously. And so I want you to remember this. So the first thing I want you to do is something that I don't do very often. I would like all of you to stand up. Stand up, please. I'd like you to read this passage of Scripture with me. Go to the next one, please. It's Ephesians 6:10. This is what we did last week, and then we're going to move forward. But I want you to get this framework before we go to the framework of the armor, okay? So let's start together. I'll try to go really slow. Usually I'm too fast, but I'll go. Start with me. Ready? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stop. Now be seated. Be seated. be firm, stand firm. You got power, he says. There's all these incredible little things he says. You've taken territory. You have been set in the light. God took you from the dark and he puts you in the light. Now stand firm. He doesn't tell you to fight. He doesn't tell you to go out and do anything. All he tells you to do is to stand firm. That's it. Stand firm. Don't lose ground. And most of us, as we're sitting here today, we would say something to the effect of, I feel like I'm not gaining anything. There's just nothing going on. I don't sense God. I don't feel God. And some of you do. I understand that. But I think a lot of you are here today are struggling with this concept of God's presence in our life. And if you're struggling with God's presence in our life, you know what you're not thinking about? That there's the devil's presence in your life. And he's out to seek and destroy you and to maim and to stop you from moving forward. And he doesn't want you to stand. He wants you to give up. He wants you to think nothing but about yourself and your own feelings and how you think and how you feel and what you care about. My goal today is to do the best job I can possibly do to wake you up and to get you to see that a lot of you are fighting naked. You're fighting naked, and you're not taking this passage very seriously. Two times he says in this passage, put on the full armor of God. And most of us, the first thing we do when we get up, besides see what time it is we check our phone for messages. We check our phone for messages, and we start to think about our day and we get all this preparation to do all these things to go out and face our day, and we go out in the way that we're not prepared. We're not prepared to go out. It would be like going to boot camp. And a sergeant standing there, and those of you that are in the service, you understand this, that if you're there and he says, there's your M16, there it is right there, that's your weapon of choice, and there's your rucksack, and there's your .45, and gentlemen and ladies, I need you to understand, if you don't take those things and use them, you're going to lose, and people beside you are going to get killed. And they're going to be very adamant with you about how it's important that you are grabbing up your armor, not just for you, but for the people beside you, your kids, your spouse, your friends, all the people that you're supposed to say you care about. And if you don't arm yourself, you are wide open for attack. So how do you stand your ground? First and foremost, he says this in Ephesians. Now let's go to the passage where we're going to land today. Ephesians, here it is. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all things, take up the shield of faith with which you extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There are your garments. There are your garments. There's what you're supposed to take up. I know most of you have heard this before and you've glossed right over it. And you've come to the day and you say, oh no, he's doing that again. Many of you here today are feeling very, very alone. Many of you here today are feeling far from others and far from God. Many of you here may believe in God a little bit, but you're not willing to act on anything that he asks you to do. And there's some here today that don't believe in God at all because of your experience, because somebody hurt you over the course of time and God didn't protect you, because your family was crazy when you were younger, and today you're sitting here a product of saying, not me, I'm not going to be duped with that again. Not me. Well, I would say to you today that one of the things that most Christians are neglecting is not just their spiritual life, it's the way that they dress themselves every day. It's an adornment of every day, putting these things on you and allowing God to take those things and allow you to stand, and he does the fighting. But when you don't put on the armor and you stand, what happens is you get your booty kicked. It gets kicked. That's as high as I can get my leg. It's all it's going to go, okay? So don't, I'm sorry, I got no karate kicks. You're going to get it kicked, and you're going to wonder, why don't I believe? Why don't I think that God is all that in a can of nuts? Why is he not special? Why is he not, you know, what everybody says he should be? And that dumb Dave Baker gets up there, and he's got all these good things to say about God, and his butt must not be getting kicked. Mine is. Mine is. No, Dave's butt's getting kicked. If you could know about his life, it's all kinds of kicking going on back there. Everybody's is. Everybody's getting attacked and hurt in serious, serious ways. And it's not just hurting our physical body. It's hurting our spiritual body. It's hurting our mind because we begin to believe this lie. Listen to me. That God can't. That God can't. And if you're here today and you're starting to understand that, you're starting to walk in that God can't do something in your life, then you're fighting naked. You're fighting naked. The metaphor, the picture that he has here is this picture of a Roman soldier. And it's a Roman soldier that every person back in that time would understand because they saw Roman soldiers patrolling all day long. And they knew every piece of equipment that they were talking about. They had seen it. And some of them had to carry some of that stuff when a Roman would come up to them and say, here, carry my stuff for a mile. And so they would carry it. And Jesus then told him, he said, don't just carry it for a mile. You carry it for 2 miles. These Israelites, these people knew what a Roman soldier was. They knew what armor was. You don't. You don't. You don't have any concept of it. You have no concept because most of your armor is Prada, or you do a Prada bag and you wear this kind of shirt and this kind of pants, the Lee jeans or those, whatever's you wear. That's your outfit. That's your outfit. So a lot of us, this just doesn't land very good. This doesn't land where it takes any kind of stance in our life. And so it just goes off. Yeah, gird yourself up, all those things. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, do that. And we get in trouble because we're very susceptible to the temptations and to the darts that the devil throws at us. Whether you believe in the devil or not today, he believes in you. And he's out for you. And he's coming for you. If you have any kind of belief in God, he's coming after you. And the more you pursue God, the more you try to press into God, the more you're going to get hurt and kicked. And people are going to let you down. And people in their church aren't going to be what you want them to be. And they're not going to do what you want them to do. They're not going to be friendly. They're not going to be nice. They're not going to come alongside you when you're hurt. And you're going to say, I don't need that. And God would say, get dressed, then let's talk. Get dressed, then let's talk. And it is not a one-time dress. It's not a one-time dressing. It's a daily dressing. You don't wear armor. You can't wear all that armor at night. You can wear some of it, but you can't wear it all at night. So there's a time to take it off, and there's a time to be sure that you got it cinched in tight. Let's talk about the first item that he talks about. The belt of truth. The belt of truth. Having belt is the number one way that the devil messes with your life. This morning, I have a belt on. See my belt? This is Wade Christian gave it to me because my pants were always falling down a lot. They don't fall down as much anymore. And I was able to cinch it, and I just pull it in tighter, and it keeps everything pretty much where it's supposed to be, okay? That's what a belt of truth does. It keeps everything where it's supposed to be, okay? That's a good friend that buys you a belt, by the way. You know, he bought me a belt because he saw me doing this all the time. I'm carrying, I hold my pants up like this. So anyway, sorry, Wade. So the belt of truth was not just to keep the pants up. It was to keep everything else. It had, they could put their sword on it on one side. They could carry this 4x2 shield that we're going to talk about in a minute. It could be on it. It could also, it kept the breastplate on the bottom. They put it over their shoulders, but here it had a little thing where it went across and it kept it so it didn't flop up and you didn't get stuck in the gut. The belt of truth is important. That's what I want to say to you today. The belt of truth is important. And if you're in the whole part on our end of this is when we put on the belt of truth is we stop telling lies. And though, so we have to put it on every day. And we have to stop telling lies. See, the way that Satan gets to us is one simple way. It's just deception. Seeing that you're okay with yourself, seeing that you're okay with others, and seeing you're okay with God. If he can make you okay with those three, he's got you. He's got you. And so his only trick is to deceive you. And he wants to use the world. He wants to use culture. He wants to tell you lies about God, about lies about who you are in Christ. Most of you don't know who you are. You don't know you're Christ. Sometimes we say, oh yeah, I belong to Jesus. Really? Really? This is a personal reminder to be honest with God first, to be honest with yourself, and to be honest with others. Proverbs says this in 10 verse 9, he who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will be found out. I want you to think about that for a minute. You see, it's saying yes to the wrong things. Jesus has called us to say yes to him on a daily basis and to say no to the things of the world. And we are saying yes to the things of the world and no to the things of God because our belt of truth isn't cinched up. It's fallen down and everything, it's letting all the armor hang out. He gets us in the little things. The devil comes at us with the little things. Anybody in here who's ever had trouble with porn, you've had trouble with porn because it wasn't just the first glance, it was a second glance. And then it was a third glance. And then it was a fourth glance. And pretty soon you needed it. You needed it to be part of all of your things in your life. And so you said yes. Saying yes to some kind of drug, some kind of thing that helps you not to feel better, to feel happy, to feel good, whatever it is, you say yes to it. And the first couple times, it's good. It is good. But ultimately, so many people, especially people with addictive personalities, can find themselves enslaved to it. And what happened? The devil took somebody who never, ever thought they would be a drug addict, and now they're a drug addict. Or you get an injury, and somebody gives you some pills, and you take the pills for a while, and pretty soon the pain doesn't go away, so you take more pills, and you take more pills, and you take more pills. And then you find yourself someplace you never wanted to be. You said yes, and yes, and yes opened the door. Here's a good one. You start dating someone. And you have physical boundaries. You know this is as far as they're going. They're not going anywhere past here. This is the boundaries. I'm just hypothetically. I got my boundaries. Here they are. They're all set up. Here's where they are. And you go and you meet Mr. Right or Mr. Right Now or whatever it is, and you walk in the door, and the boundaries start moving. And they move and they move and they move. And pretty soon, everything's been invaded. The whole island's been invaded. And you wake up and you go, oh, my boundaries are gone. What? I didn't have any boundaries. So now what? Now what? Oh, well, I love him. So let's move in together. Okay, but the Bible says, you know, don't live together. Don't live together if you don't. Oh, you know, we love each other and it's all good. It's good. Let's just, you know, you love me, I love you. And the Bible says, no, don't do that. See, yes, yes. I say yes to the things, the little things. Please get this. And I want you to repeat after me. Little things lead to big things. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Little things lead to big things. Always. A second glance. A second thought. One commentator writes this, and I wrote what he said. The belt of truth is having no disguise before God or man. It equals a denial. We deny, oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay if I sleep with my boyfriend. I'm okay if I sleep with my girlfriend. I'm okay if I take a few drugs. I'm okay if I just get drunk on Friday nights. I'm okay if I just think bad thoughts about my neighbors, you know, that one time. The belt of truth has become uncinched. David, who is my hero, was one flawed individual. Talk about flawed individuals. That guy was whack. But God said he was after God's own heart, a man after God's own heart. Okay, he is. He said this prayer, the best prayer that you can say. And I want you to notice this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and then lead me in an everlasting way. What a prayer. What a power-packed prayer. So what I want to say right now is I want you to begin right there. I want you to bow your head. I want you to close your eyes. If you came in here today, I want you to think about saying that prayer. Search my heart, God. As we run into the end of this lesson today, I want you to go into that thinking about asking God, search me. See if there's anything that's unclean in me, and God, bring it to my attention. Do that right now. Take a minute. All right, Lord, we trust you. We trust that you're going to bring it to our minds, that you brought it to our minds. Carry that with you here for a few minutes, okay? Here we go. And then you're going to undump it. You're going to get rid of it in a minute. That's a prayer that you should probably pray every day because you get filled with all kinds of things you don't need to be filled with every day. Isn't it silly how small lies just begin to turn, and it starts small. Every lie starts small. I'm just thinking about this, about when we're talking about the belt of truth. It's like, you know, I was late. I'm sorry, traffic was heavy. Well, it might have been heavy, but you left 15 minutes late. You lied. You lied. You lied. And you know what? The belt of truth is what you've done is it slipped. It slipped down because you lied. Little lies, whether it's thousands of dollars or $2 that you take, or you stiff a waitress or a waiter, or you do whatever it is you do, it still starts out little. And pretty soon it goes bigger and bigger and bigger. The belt of truth is the basis for everything. I'm not going to be as long in everything, but I wanted you to understand all of it starts with honesty. God, I am wrong. God, I am a liar. Some of you are going to have to say that. And some of you are going to say, I'm a liar all the time. I lie. I cut things so people don't get upset with me. I cut things. You know, if I had told them that, so I'll just make it just kind of go out of the way a little bit. The belt of truth says differently. Keep it tight. Secondly, he says, having the breastplate of righteousness. Having a breastplate of righteousness. This is a metaphor for covering your heart. It's something that goes down over the head. Very heavy, bronze most times. It goes down, protects all these regions, and even has something down here. So it protects all this. The things in the frontal assault, where the assault's going to come at you. And as a follower of Christ, when you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life and you took him as your Lord and Savior, and then you walk with him, you were put in a position from being in this dark space, whether you knew it or not, you were in a dark space, and now Jesus came down and he lifted you out of the dark and he put you in the light. He put you in the light. And he wants you to be in the light and to stay in the light. And the way you stay in the light is have this covered. The heart has to be covered. And a sword would usually veer off of it. Arrows would veer off of it. It was a protection of the heart. It was a protection. And Satan's first attempt is always at trying to deceive you. And he did that with Eve, you know. Come on, Eve, just take it. God doesn't, you know, he's just kind of kidding. You know better, Eve. It's okay. I can live together. I know better. We're saving money for when we get married. Yeah, that'll be great. Yeah, that'll be a good thing. Okay. When you and I know the right thing to do and we don't do it, listen to me. Listen to me, Christians. Listen to me. When you know the right thing to do as a Christian, I'm talking about, and I'm not talking about people who aren't in Christ, but when you're in Christ, you know the right, you open yourself up to demonic activity. You open yourself wide open. You open up the gates. When you know it's wrong and you do it anyway, and then you wonder, why in the heck is my life going to pot? Shouldn't God bless me? Shouldn't he make everything just come out smelling like roses? No. No. James 4:17 says this, he who knows what is right to do and doesn't do it, to him it is a sin. To him it's a sin, and to God it's a sin. So let me ask you, is there anything in your life right now that you know that God has made very clear and you shouldn't be in that relationship? You shouldn't be watching whatever it is you're watching isn't healthy for you. Your finances are upside down. You're living together and you're not married. You hook up with so-and-so on the occasion. Is there anything in you that you know is wrong and you're doing it anyway? Think about it. You can be close to Jesus, but a million miles away. Think about Judas. Judas was in the house with that guy every day, all day long. All day he was with him. In the end, he betrayed him. No wonder we have such hard time too. See, when we think of spiritual warfare, we think of this ooh kind of stuff. You know, it's an apparition. It appeared in my doorstep. It's something that it touched the nape of my neck, and now I feel. He don't have to do that stuff anymore. You know what it is? You just lie. You cheat. You do the things that you do. You smudge it over a little bit. And you expect it all to be good in the neighborhood. Demonic influence starts out with not being honest. And it leads to a piercing of your heart. The armor doesn't do its job because you've not been honest. You've not been forthcoming with God and yourself. Number three, let's move on because of time. I'm going a little longer than I wanted to. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This was always a confusing one to me until I figured out, I went back to see the Romans. I looked at their attire more fully. And you know what the Roman soldier would do? They would stick their foot up like this, and they would take some leather, and they would go all the way around there. They would just cinch it as tight as could be, as tight as they could take it, around their shoes. And then they had spikes in their shoes, in the bottom of their shoes. And so that was for one reason. It was so that they could stand firm. It was so they could stand firm. And he tells us, he says, stand feet with this, as he puts it, that with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So how you have your feet planted and what they're planted in makes a difference. Because the Roman soldier would stand here with this shield that we're going to talk about in a minute. It was 4x2. He had a helmet on. He had a breastplate on. He had his shoes. He was dug in like a football player. And he was sitting right here like this. And he had his sword at his side. And every time somebody come up close, he would stick it out. And so And they would come up, what they would do, they would run as hard as they could to try to push them so they would lose their footing. And so when they fall, here's what happened. I alluded to this already. When one would fall, it made an entry point for them to come in and come behind the line and start slicing and dicing. And it wasn't a good thing. So your feet have got to be where you take peace around, where you're not always out for blood. When somebody's going to hurt you, I'm going to hurt you, sucker. That's not the kind of life that we're looking for. That's not, and that's what most of you tell me, I'll tell you. Here's a piece of my mind. The gospel of peace is not that. The gospel of peace is the gospel of peace. Well, I got another cheek. Ouch. Got another cheek. On and on it goes. Shod your feet. Satan has deceived us into thinking that we don't measure up. He's deceived us your whole life that the Christian life is a duty. And now listen, because this is where a lot of you are stuck. You're stuck because you can't read the Bible. Let me just take that really quick. A lot of you said, I've tried to read the Bible. I've tried to read. All January, I talked to you. Let's read the Bible. Let's read the Bible. Some of you took it up. Some of you didn't. Some of you might have started. Some of you quit. Some of you maybe you're still going. But reading the Bible is one of the hardest things there is. And to start out doing that before you got your armor on, before you got your, it's silly. Because every time you're going to think, this is a duty. I got to read it. I read it for 3 days and I'm done. And it becomes duty. It cannot be a duty. It must be a pleasure. I'm going to a buffet to eat, baby. There's some seafood in there. Let's get it. Yes. You get it, right? I'm going to the Word because I'm going to get something out of it that's going to help me as I stand. Then it makes sense. It won't make any sense to you until you got the armor on. You got to get the armor on. Satan is always messing with us. John, 1 John 5:12 says this, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. When in fear, put those shoes of peace to stand. Ooh, 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 there's something for the moment right now. So many of us are overcome by fear. So many of us are overcome by stress and anxiety, and you got all these words for it, and we're overwhelmed. It's because our shoes were not fitted with the peace of God. Only peace comes from standing with God. Only peace comes. Let's skip ahead to 4 and 5, I think, if we can, for time. Then he says, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Go to the next one. I'm going to talk about it both. And receive the helmet of salvation. Just hold both of those things. Two things. The shield of faith. Remember I told you it's 4x2. just big enough to cover most guys, okay? It covers the 2 foot by 4, and so it's got a handle on it, and sometimes they would have a little eye hole in it where you could look out of it and see. As I was reading through commentaries, a lot of soldiers didn't like that because that's the first place they would stick the sword. Like, oh, okay, boom, you know. And so but some people had that. So the shield of faith, again, is just another defensive weapon to say, I'm going to hold this up here, and it's going to give me another layer of protection for my heart. It's going to give me another layer of protection for my midsection. It's going to give me another layer of protection for my head. And so it's just doubling up. It's important to understand what that does. And then the helmet of salvation is nothing more that it just protects all the things that are in here. The shield of faith is protects everything. The helmet protects our head. It has a very important job. Do not go out without your shield of faith and your helmet of salvation. I remember years and years ago, probably when I was about 5 years after we started this church, I remember going to church one morning and I was sitting, I forget where we were. I don't think we were here yet. I think we were over at Holiday Lane. And I stood up to talk to people, which is, something that was really out of my comfort, because I never thought I'd be the guy standing up in front. I always wanted to, I like to be the pastor of doing other things with kids, doing other things. And so when I took this job, I didn't always think I'd be the guy that'd be standing up here doing this. I really didn't. And so I'm standing up there, and do you know how much I got clobbered in my head? You're a horrible dad. You're a bad parent. What do you got to say? You're this and you're that. I could name 500 things that was wrong with me. And every day I did that. Every Sunday I went up. And so I went on like this for a long time, and I was like, I got to do something. So I went and talked to some people I really trusted, and they just started praying with me. And they talked to me about the being sure that I had my helmet on. I thought, I really haven't thought about that. I've thought about the sword a lot, and I've thought about maybe my shoes and bringing the gospel piece, because I understand it, but helmet not so much. It's a big gaudy piece, and you got to wear it all the time, and I don't know. I just don't know if I want to wear that. And so finally they prayed. I'm telling you, I had immediate delivery from that, where I stepped back up the next week, and I knew I was still who I was, but I remembered that what Jesus thought about me. And Jesus told me I was okay. Jesus said, you're a crud to you, but to me, you're precious. And so I was able to walk out of that. Talking about the helmet of salvation, it's really important. I can't overemphasize this enough. This helmet is a saving thing. It's all about salvation. And that's what our walk with Christ is about. It's about being saved. It's what keeps us saved. It's this thing that saves us from what? Darkness. He took us out of darkness and he put us in light. It saves us from not having to walk in the dark anymore. That's why it's so important. These weapons that were coming against us, that come against you, that come against me, they're not of this world. They're not of this world. They only are stopped by the supernatural weapons that are out there. In John 8, Jesus said this. He said, there was a group of people who wondered who he was, and they were trying to figure out what Jesus' place was. And he said this, if you will abide in my word, and the word abide here is take it and put it into practice. If you abide in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You do not have to be stuck this morning. You do not have to be stuck thinking that you're worthless. You do not have to be stuck thinking that you're a victim. You do not have to be stuck thinking that you're a loser. You don't have to be stuck in the place that you're at. If you don't get anything else I've said out of this stuff this morning, and I've had to condense it because of the time, get this, what we're saying about spiritual warfare. I want to tell you that if you're living a life and you're not mastering the book of Christ, if you're not reading the book of Christ a little bit, before you get to that, you got to get to the last one. Go all the way to the last, if you would, for me, Charlie. All the way to the last. Nope, skip right there. Verse 18. He says all these weapons. He gives us all these defensive weapons and one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. I'm not going to go into that much today because I've talked about that ad nauseum. But he says, after you get the armor on, do this. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. That's the most powerful place you can begin, is praying. So if you're here today and you're stuck, if you're here today and you cannot read the Bible, if you're here today and all you can do is muster, maybe getting your tail into this place today, start praying. Pray as much as you possibly. God, I don't understand. I'm having trouble even believing. God, I just need you. You know, like we did a couple weeks ago. Jesus, help. Jesus, help. It's like sin. If you don't dress with the armor, you're not dressing your kids with the armor. They're going out in the world and they're getting demolished. You have to be very careful what you allow into your mind. And that's where the helmet of salvation comes in. What you allow into your mind then comes out in your body, in your actions. If you're filled with some of God's truth, it will come out and it will be an incredible victory for Jesus. A lot of us have lost some of these little skirmishes because many Christians have not found themselves. We just kind of cluster up and we go to all Christian things and we do all the Christian things as much as we can. And when it comes down to it, God has told us to be salt and light, but don't go out unless you're dressed for it. Try this. If you have kids or grandkids, just for me, just try this, a little bit of homework. Do you believe in the God or Jesus of the Bible? Really? Do you believe in him? I want you to ask that question of your grandkids, of your kids. Do you really believe in the God of the Bible? And then secondly, the question to follow up with that, do you think that if he's real, what difference does that make to you? And see what they give you. See what answer they give you. I don't care how old they are. Talk to them about that. The world they live in, listen to me. The world they live in is filling their mind with everything else but the Word of God. The world we live in is filling their mind with so much minutia on a daily basis, just like it is you. And no wonder your kids are so confused. No wonder they don't know if they believe that God is real. No wonder they don't understand what church is about. No wonder, because what they're getting is a huge old buffet of the world and the culture and 2 minutes of a Bible study, maybe. 2 minutes. And you as a parent, you're responsible for your children's salvation, for what they believe and what they don't believe. And I'm throwing it back on you. It isn't Tiffany's job. It isn't Abby's job. They are to come alongside of you and to say, here's another way. Here, let me come along and assist you. But their job is not to take your kids to get them to Jesus. That's your job. That's your job. And if you're not doing it, then hardly anybody else is. Because they're not doing it in the schools. You think they're teaching them these things in the school? No. You know who they're influenced by? By all of our kids. All of our kids. You know who they're influenced by most? They're friends. Look at your kids' friends, and you'll be able to know what their kids are thinking a little bit, if you know them at all. And a lot of them can be like the Cleavers. What was there was Beaver and Wally, you know, always hiding and stuff. And they're good at hiding. They're really good at hiding. And they're good at schmoozing and just saying, I'm okay. It's all good. I'm good, Mom. I'm good, Dad. The Word of God is active and sharper than anything else. Use the sword of God. Use it, but start with prayer. Put on the armor on a daily basis and see what God does. And most importantly, you did good, Charlie, it was me. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. There's where God starts doing the busy work that works. the busy work that does what it's supposed to do. Let's pray as the band comes. Jesus, I know that we went through a lot today, and I know that it sounds too good to be true, that you're going to protect us if we just do these things, if we put on this wardrobe, if we stop fighting without your wardrobe. So I pray today that you'll begin a work in somebody's life here today. I don't know. I don't know whose life you're going to touch, but I pray that there's some people today that are going to look at their kids differently. They're going to look differently, and they care so much about what they feed their children. They care about what they put in their bodies. They care that they eat healthy. They care that they wear good clothes, that they have enough to eat and enough to drink and a great warm place to stay and all the toys that they're supposed to have. But yet we send them to daycare. We send them to somewhere else unprepared to fight the battles that are coming against them. So God, let us institute that in our lives. And then as grandparents, those of us that are here with our grandkids, maybe we missed it a little bit with our kids. Let us start anew with our grandkids. And then if we don't have grandkids, God, then there's plenty of kids here that need somebody to speak into their lives. I pray today will be the first day maybe that somebody in here figured out why they're getting beat up. Somebody in here figured why they were just getting, no matter what they did, they were just still being tempted. They were being hurt and hurled. And I'm not saying we're not going to have troubles. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying, God, that you're going to walk through us with every one of those troubles. So I pray if there's one person here today that doesn't know you, may they let this day be that day that they come and say, I want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life. If there's some here today that have been just woefully off the mark and have been fighting so, so unclothed, God, I pray that maybe this will be a start for them. Do your work in us this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.